And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. God speaks to Abraham. He mentions, verse 1, that this was just a test. Verse 12, he said, Abraham, I know now that thou fearest God. And I want you to think about the fact tonight that really the fear test is just an ear test. Here's where it all started. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 12. So God comes to Abraham. In verse 1, the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless him that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed. Now, in the Christian life, here's what God wants to be for us. God wants to be our GPS. And most of us don't like that whole philosophy. Women, you know what I'm talking about, because you get in the vehicle and you're trying to help your husband out and he doesn't want to listen. Not to you, not to her. On the dashboard, her. The cell phone, her. The GPS, her. It's tough for a man to have to listen to directions because we know in our minds that we've got it all taken care of. We just occasionally take the long way there, but we get there. And we don't get lost on the way there. Sometimes we just like to take the scenic route. Focused on enjoying the scenery, and we're not concerned about the destiny, we're concerned about the trip on the way to the destiny. And here's what we get to thinking in life. We truly forget that God, after salvation, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, he is supposed to be our GPS. This word is supposed to be our daily guide. And we have a hard head, a stubborn mind, a stubborn will. We like to make our own decisions, do our own thing. And back then, Abraham meets with God, gets very few details, is told to leave, and he does exactly that. And here's what God does on the journey. God really wants to train us to listen on the trip. How many of you ever thought you knew better than the GPS? And you didn't. And here's what's amazing about the GPS. A lot of times it doesn't say anything. It just stays silent for long periods of time until there's an important turn to make. Sometimes God does that. And I think that's what God was doing here with Abraham. But back in the beginning, first of all, he had to train his ear. He had to train him to listen. And the first step in God working in the Christian life is training his ear. Because the average Christian gets saved and God wants to fill him with this book and fill him with the word. And that means you're going to have to get in the word. That means you're going to have to be faithful to church. But you're going to have to be willing to listen. And as we mentioned this morning, every time we come to God's house, this is about tuning in to God and hearing from him and not making the mistake of going through all the motions, sitting in the pew and going through an entire service and then leaving without ever having heard from God. And too many Christians live their Christian life, they reach a certain point, and after they've grown so much to become satisfied with their growth, they stop right there and tune God out, and any changes that God wants to make in their life from that point on is just blocked out. God wants to make a difference in their dress, a difference in their relationship, a difference in their kindness, a difference in their personality, and we resist. And after a while, we sit in a pew, we hear certain texts, certain verses, certain principles, and it's all just noise. And instead of hearing from God, reacting, confessing, repenting, and changing, and allowing him to work in our lives, that's what you see in Abraham. Let me ask you a question. Doesn't it seem a little bit strange to you that God would come to Abraham at this point in his life? Okay, Abraham has been doing the right thing now for decades. When God came to Abraham here, we don't know his exact age. Maybe 45, maybe 50. So we know at least at this point, he's been doing right for 50, 60, maybe 70 years. He's been doing the right thing. And God comes, and some people say, well, look at this test. Maybe there's a little bit of doubt. Maybe there's a little bit of fear. If you go back to Genesis 22, really what you see is a lot of confidence. The fact that God would come and ask this of Abraham, you think he would balk, you think he would back up. But these are the questions. Number one, are you listening? Number two, when you listen, are you willing to obey? And number three, do you really fear God? And here's what you see in this chapter. Number one and number two were already answered. Yes, Abraham had already established the discipline of hearing from God. Let me help you out tonight. If you're unfaithful to church, it's because you're not hearing from God. If you're not reaching out to the lost, you're not hearing from God and being obedient. You've tuned out God. If you're living unkind, depressed, frustrated, angry, you're not hearing from God and being obedient. You haven't passed the first test. You haven't established a righteous habit in your life of saying, God, whatever you want to deal with, I'm tuned in, deal with it, and then let's move forward and make this correction, make this change so that I'm more conformed to your image. That's what the Bible's about. That's what this book is about. That's what church is about. That's what an invitation is about. That's what the Christian life is about. Allowing God to work daily in our lives when he addresses the sin, confessing the sin, repenting of the sin, and changing whatever he is addressing in our life. But many Christians get stuck. Some get stuck at the very first step. Never get baptized. Rebel from the very beginning. I want to hear and obey. Whether that's in my Bible reading, my prayer life, my marriage, my child rearing, my ministry. All the time, God is addressing something new. My relationship with my church members, my relationship to those under my ministry, my relationship in my marriage, my relationship with my children. All those things God is constantly going to be addressing. And too many Christians get tired of growth. Have you ever had growing pains? You know, in the physical world, that's a result of growing too fast. That's not so in the spiritual world. Don't worry about growing too fast. Just worry about growing. Growing pains is really because in our human nature, we're resistant to what God is trying to do in our lives. So we sit in church and the Holy Spirit's trying to work and the Holy Spirit's trying to deal with us and the Holy Spirit is trying to conform us to his image. And it all starts right here with hearing and obeying, because you can't reach the point. Listen, the test that God was giving to Abraham decades into his Christian life. He wasn't a rebel. He wasn't a bad Christian. He wasn't a problem child. He wasn't one of those that we look back and say, wow, it was just mistake after mistake. Yes, he made a few mistakes. But here was a man that had been obedient to God over the course of decades. And God said, Abraham, I'm still testing you because I still want to see growth in your life. And God uses these things in our life to reveal, number one, who we are, what we are, and then help us to be honest about our condition. How many ever came to a point of testing in your life and God began to reveal to you that you weren't exactly what you thought yourself to be? You begin to get honest with yourself. Now look what it says, verse 7 and 8. So here comes the test. Isaac spake to Abraham his father and said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? How many of you are spiritual leaders? You know you're supposed to be the spiritual leader, but sometimes you feel like you don't even have the answers to the questions. Now, he responded very correctly. God will provide himself. And he did it with great confidence. But how many of you have ever been in a point of testing and you didn't know how to respond? As a matter of fact, you didn't really want to see people because you knew they'd have questions and you don't have the answers. Maybe not even for your own mate. Here's what we fail to think about. God comes, he tells Abraham to take his son, his only son, his promised son, and go offer him as a burnt sacrifice. Tell me that makes sense. You read your Bible dozens of times, it still doesn't make sense. You're in a different dispensation, it still doesn't make sense. So what is Abraham supposed to do? Hey, honey, I'm packing to make a trip. Oh, really? Where are you going? Where God told me to go. Nothing specific, he didn't give me the details. Okay, so what you going to do? I'm going to take Isaac. Oh, really? Good. What? Why do you need Isaac? I'm going to take him and build an altar and burnt sacrifice. Okay, great. See you later. That's the way we read Scripture. How is he going to explain this to his wife? What answer is he going to give her that'll satisfy her mind that this is truly God's will? How do you explain that? He doesn't know the mountain. He doesn't know the specifics. It doesn't make sense in his mind, but he's trying to explain to his wife something that is inexplicable. So here's what you better do. If you're going to get tuned into God, listen to his voice, you better have a great home life, a good marriage, a family of submitted children, because none of this would have worked. Abraham could not have been obedient to God had he not first had his family in order. He would have had a revolution on his hands. Oh, how nonchalantly we look at Scripture and read it. He's in a spot where he's the spiritual leader. He's supposed to be providing answers, and all he has for himself is questions. But he has a habit of listening to God and obeying. And most Christians have never come to that point. Most Christians tuned out God because there are things I don't want to obey. God, okay, you have your verses over modesty, and I don't think, you know why you argue over modesty? Because you don't want to know what the Bible says about modesty. Because God would change you, and that would be tough. You know why you don't want to study out what biblical music is? Because God would change you if you truly understood God's philosophy on giving. You certainly wouldn't be arguing about tithing. So Christians, instead of getting in this habit, okay, what does God's word say? I want to listen and be obedient. This test that God is giving Abraham is a test for mature grown-ups. This is a fearing test. And a fearing test means you've already passed the hearing test. You've already come to the point. You sit in church, you read the Bible, you commune with God, you listen, and you obey. That's the way you live. And over time, you know what that does for you? It creates the fear of God. And here's where you see the average Christian doesn't have the fear of God, because when things get a little bit wild and God puts you to the test and there's something that he says to do that you can't understand intellectually. You know why kids don't have a problem with the Word of God? Their IQ is low. Let's do chocolate milk and donuts for breakfast. That's a low IQ. If you're doing chocolate milk and donuts for breakfast at 28, you still have a low IQ. It's not the breakfast of champions. If you do a gallon of ice cream for lunch, you have a low IQ. If you do 135 on the highway, you have a low IQ. That's what kids do. But as you intellectually grow up, here's what happens. When you have a young person get into college and suddenly they're developing their IQ and becoming more intelligent, suddenly there are things in the Word of God they can't understand. And now I'm too smart for God. Abraham never got too smart for God. So when God tests you And it's something emotionally overwhelming, intellectually overwhelming, financially overwhelming, physically overwhelming. Now it'll prove your fear of God. There are steps in the process that you have to go through. And the first step is you tune your ear into God. You hear Him. You obey Him. And as you do this throughout the years and throughout the decades, you know what happens? The fear of God is not established overnight. This is a process. And as you establish the fear of God, God says, now I can trust you. So when He says, Abraham, get your son. Go to the mount. You don't even know where you're going. Take your boy. Offer him as a burnt offering. Abraham gets the wood and the fire and his son. Sarah says, okay, we'll see you at some point. And early the next morning, they go read the story. A test like this would overwhelm all of us. But for Abraham, it was actually underwhelming, because he had established the habit. I hear, I obey. You will never get to the point where you fear God. And here's what society and everything that's happening around us is going to reveal: those that truly fear God and those that fear man. Some of you fear retirement without sufficient income. Some of you fear danger, traffic. Some of you fear your wife. Some of you fear failure. Some of you fear your house burning down, someone breaking in, not having sufficient income, having too many expenses. You fear a lot of things in life, just not God. And here's what you see in a mature Christian. Fear is nothing but God. He said, I fear God more than I fear losing my son. I fear God more than I fear angering my wife. I fear God more than I fear anything else in this life. Because a fear of God is a complete trust in God. And you say, I trust God so much that I fear doing anything that displeases Him. If we could get a group in this church to over time grow to this point where you're so obedient, there's no argument with God. Instead of trying to argue with Scripture, you're just obedient. If it leans that way, I'm going to obey it. If it could possibly mean that, I'm going to do it. I just want to be on board. I want to make sure I'm with God. I just want to make sure I'm doing the right thing. You know what Abraham was saying? There is nothing too great for me to give up for God's sake. Nothing. As if God were really trying to take something good from us. You don't know God. God is not sitting up in heaven saying, I wonder what good thing I can take from. I wonder what pleasure in life. I wonder what makes Him happy that I can just wrench right out of His hands. Just for the fun of it. Like you do that as a parent. You know, you wait till your child has picked up their favorite toy. Then you're just waiting. I hope they pick up that one. So I just really take it away. And then bust it in a million pieces. Man, that makes me happy. As if God were going to do that to you. You know what God takes from you? The bleach that you want to put in your mouth? The dish detergent that you're determined, you know, that child, as soon as they learn to walk, they're going to every cupboard. And if you don't have the locks on the cupboards and the toilet seat, and even then, they still find there, what is it that is so entertaining to a one-year-old about a toilet bowl? And just as you as a parent are saying, stay out of that room, stay out of that cupboard, don't eat that powder, don't, no, please, stop it. That's what God is doing for us. He said, that's a danger to you. That'll hurt you. That'll poison you. But we look at God as if He's keeping all the best candies and favorite toys from us. I'm talking about Christians that are supposed to be grown. That's the silliness of immature Christianity that actually think that God is withholding something. No good thing will God withhold from his children. That's a scriptural promise. How many of us actually believe that? So God comes to him. God speaks to him. He gives him few details and he says, listen, you walk, and as you walk, I'll talk to you. That's the part we don't like. We want to sit down, get all the instructions. God said, no. You walk, then I'll talk. Look what it says in verse 5. Abram said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He had to leave some people behind in order to hear the voice of God. And young people, one of the most important lessons you can learn in life, sometimes you're going to have to leave some people behind. God says, I'm not talking to you until it's me and you. You don't need to be with anyone else. Well, I just feel so isolated. We can't talk until you're isolated. You don't listen. You don't even talk to me until we're isolated. And sometimes God has to use those moments of isolation. God said, I'm going to get you away from your friends. But here's what's taking place. God says, I'm going to take you on a trip because I want to examine this area of your life. Yes, you listen. Yes, you obey. But let's see if you've truly reached a point where you fear me. Now I want you to look at Abram's problem for just a minute. We'll be finished. This problem that seems so severe, or at least in our eyes, was not really an overwhelming problem to Abraham, and it had actually already been solved by God. Now think about this test, and it's easy for us because it's hindsight. We're looking at Scripture. We're already looking at the details. But God appears to Abraham and says, I want you to get up, go to a mountain. I'm going to tell you which mountain on the way. Get your son, offer him as a burnt sacrifice. And Abraham says, that's it. My son, my promised seed, to a place I don't know. Okay. Now, he wasn't jumping up and down for joy. There was confusion. He had a habit of obedience. But this is where the average Christian stops right here. Something hard, that's when we stop. Now, here's the question. To get to the point where you really fear God, you're going to have to overcome the obstacle of the hard thing that God asks. And Abraham had a little bit of experience. And he said, okay, I'm going to do this. But the average Christian comes to, and maybe that hard thing may be something as simple as missions, getting involved in missions, maybe as simple as handing out a gospel tract. It may be as simple as giving the tithe. It may be as simple as being kind to someone you dislike. I don't know what the hard thing is for you. But you know what the average Christian does? Gets right up to this point and says, I'll do anything except that. I'm not going to do that. And God said, okay, you don't fear me. Because when you fear God, you say, God, anything you're asking me for or anything you want me to change, I'm willing to do that. Now I want you to think about this whole request in the test that God has for Abraham. He already knows the mountain. He knows the place. He has the ram. It's all solved for God, but he sees the big picture. He has everything in place, right? You've heard before, Abraham's going up this side of the mountain. The ram's going up this side of the mountain. God's above, putting everything in place, sees the big picture. So Abraham may have moments of anxiety. Isaac may have moments of anxiety. God has no moment of anxiety. I have this all figured out. Everything's in place. I want you to know when you're all alone, I am your provision. Because Abraham, you may have thought in your life you were providing for yourself. No, I am your provider. You're up here on a mountain. You have no way to take care of this on your own. I'm your provider. And I'll take care of this. But here's what we do in life. We come to test. We can't see what God is doing. God says, I want this out of your life. I want this fixed. I want this removed. I want you to obey me in this. I want you to take the next step. Some of you have been saved for 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, and there's something you're like, you grew up to that point and then you stopped. I'm not going to do that. And the Holy Spirit spoke to you about something. It may have been simple, but for you it was hard, and you stopped. You cannot grow to fear God until you're obedient in everything that He speaks to you about. This problem was actually no problem at all. What was the problem here? In hindsight, looking back at the story. Oh, easy for us, right? How many of you ever dealt with a serious problem 10 years later? You look back and thought, boy, it wasn't that hard. Well, it's not that hard in hindsight because you saw the solution and saw what God brought to pass and how God's a God of details and He worked it all out. But before you knew what He was going to do, there was a lot of panic. You actually had a high blood pressure, you weren't sleeping well, and you were acting very tense with everyone around you. And they would say, it was a problem, because they had to deal with you. Grouchy you, frustrated you, tense you. But let me ask you this. Where was the problem in the problem? Didn't it all work out perfectly? Didn't God have an example for the ages? A story that we were going to preach from dozens of times? Every preacher would use. There's no problem. In the problem, looking from God's view or back in hindsight, but when we have a problem, Pastor, this is a problem. No, it's not a problem. You know what this is? It's a fearing test. So whatever you're dealing with right now, you say, Pastor, I've got a problem. From your perspective, it's a problem, but you can't see from the top of the mountain. You can't see both sides. Now, for some of you, it might be a hearing test, but it should not be unless you're newly saved. If God has to check out your hearing and you're 10 years old as a Christian, you just have a problem. But if you're dealing with something that looks like a mountain, looks like extreme sacrifice, this isn't a problem. God has a plan, God has a purpose, God has it figured out. This is a fearing test. God said, I just want to see how mature you are, and if you have grown to the point that you fear me, or you fear the lack of funds. If you fear me, or you fear a man. If you fear me, or you fear a sickness. If you fear me, or you fear a problem that you can't solve. So we're going to do a little test here. Not to answer my question, because God is omniscient, but to help you see where you're at spiritually. So God says, let's take a little test. Let's walk up the mountain, offer a son. God had it planned out. He didn't want Abraham's son sacrificed. And when you get to the point, you understand God's not trying to take something from you. He's trying to reveal something to you. He's trying to get you to understand where you're at in your spiritual life and saying, do you fear me? And what is fear? Do you trust me enough that you've stopped fearing everything else in life? Now, here's what I want you to see. One thing. Here's the point of the whole message. Listening and obeying, which had become a habit, such a habit that now he obviously feared God. Listening and obeying solved the problem. It didn't create one. We miss the most basic, one of the most basic principles of Scripture that will help solve some of our problems. In his mind, if I listen and obey, this is going to cause me disaster. This is going to cost me more than I want to pay. I don't want to do this. I don't want to walk up this mountain. I don't want to sacrifice my son. This is going to hurt my relationship with my wife. The one thing in life I don't want to give to God is my son. And all these things were going through his mind. God said, I don't want your son. This is a test, Abraham. Now, hold on for a second. If here's something about hearing and obeying, that the ear test. God speaking to us is not just disturbing, as we mentioned this morning. It's progressive. So God grows you, and then he speaks to you, and he grows you, and he speaks to you, and he grows you, and he speaks to you. So you should be continually growing if you're listening to the voice of God. You know what saved his son's life? He's there. His son's on the altar. He has a knife in the air, but he's still listening and obeying. Abraham, put down the knife. So listening and obeying saved the life of his son. Here's what too many Christians have done. They've listened and grown, listened and grown, listened and grown to a point where they stopped. And then they begin to pay a price. And for some, it cost them their own children. Because I'll listen and grow and I'll listen and grow, but this is it. This is as far as I'm going. Better be careful, because God's voice, God's will, God's commands are progressive. Are you progressing? So as he listened and obeyed, a new command would come. This is the mountain. Okay, I'm going up the mountain. Build the altar. He built the altar. He remembered yesterday's revelation. Put your son on the altar. You know what? As your children get older, as your marriage develops, as your ministry increases, we have God's written revelation. But as you grow, there is new revelation for you today. I'm not talking about a visit from an angel. I'm not talking about the craziness that is a Pentecostal movement in this day and age. I'm talking about God is going to help you today with your teenager by showing you new things in his word that you didn't know while you were raising that two-year-old. And if you're not listening to his voice today, you're going to mess up with that teenager. Because you were listening when that child was 2 and 5 and 7. But you better be listening to God today when that child is 17 and 18. Because his revelation is progressive. He didn't need to show that to you yesterday because you didn't have an 18-year-old. But you better get it today. You weren't in that position. You weren't working that ministry. You didn't have that responsibility. So you better be paying attention to what God has for you today, because you need it today. How is it that we feel like we've outgrown the will, the commands, the voice of God? I got it. I know it. God, you don't need to, don't worry about me. Christian, there's no greater concern for a pastor than the Christian that has stopped growing, hearing the voice of God, submitting himself. Because God said, decades into Abram's Christian life, I'll do a little test here to see if you fear me or see what you really fear. Because when you fear God, nothing else is a fear.